ASP.NET MVC version 1 has RTM'd, has released, and today we brought in Phil Hack to explain exactly what it is. So, Phil, could you introduce yourself?
I'm Phil Hack. I'm a program manager with the ASP.NET team, and I've been working on the ASP.NET MVC framework for building web applications.
All right. So it's a web applications framework. But why? What's the difference? I mean, it's ASP.NET, but it has three more letters after it. So how different does that make it?
So it's not different than ASP.NET. It's a part of ASP.NET, first of all. So ASP.NET is a broad range of technologies for building web applications. And MVC is just a layer on top of ASP.NET. So it takes advantage of core features that already exist in ASP.NET, such as membership, profile, localization, all these other things. But what it gives you is a what it gives you in addition is a an alternative way of building web applications, an alternative to web forms for building web applications.
Okay.
So whereas web forms has this very rich control abstractions and component model,
right.
MVC is more bare bones in terms of it doesn't have the controls abstraction. It uses a MVC pattern instead.
So can you explain that pattern a little bit?
Sure. So probably the easiest way to explain it is to contrast it to web forms, which is if you think of web forms and you drag a button on a page and you double-click the button, you get a button-click event handler code, and you write the code to handle the button-click in there. So in a way, it's a... The controls are the first thing that handles user input, right? So the user clicks a button, the control figures out what to do with it. In the MVC pattern, it's the triad is sort of rotated in that the first thing that handles the incoming user interaction is the controller.
Okay.
And this sort of fits with the way the web works in terms of every user interaction with the web page is in the form of a request, an HTTP request. So it comes into the controller, and in our case, via routing. So routing figures out which controller to go to.
Okay.
Comes into the controller, and the controller then figures out, well, what is the user trying to do? It handles the user interaction, and then it might manipulate some sort of presentation model or and domain models and all that. And then it takes these, it creates a presentation model and sends that down to a view template, which then renders the model into HTML, which gets sent back to the browser.
Great. So it sounds like it's really customizable then as far as like what HTML you're outputting and just, I mean, the view model, right?
That's it's very customizable. And I mean, but so is ASP.NET, right?
Right.
I think the difference is that you don't have this controls abstractions event model. So the abstractions and event model is very powerful. You can do a lot of things with it. One nice thing with the MVC approach is that when a request comes in, a request generally maps to a single method on a controller class.
Okay.
So there's no events that you're handling. There's no other methods that are being called. It's this one method, and that method is responsible for handling that request.
Okay. Great. So this is V1, and I guess can you explain a little bit on like how you've gotten here, where you've had some betas, some RCs. What makes this V1, I guess?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I was preparing some slides for Mix, and I think I counted something like 10 releases that we've done. If you count all our interim preview releases as well as our betas and our release candidates, we've had a lot of releases on CodePlex with source code available and with all our unit tests, which we ship. And so that's allowed people to really get a deep look at what we're doing and provide a lot of feedback. What makes this 1.0 is that we feel we have a good broad set of features that for building an application, you have pretty much everything you need in the framework. Now, there's certainly a lot more we can do for you and a lot more we want to do, but we also realize that shipping early and often is extremely important. We've shipped a lot of releases, interim releases early and often, but there's a lot of customers out there who can't for whatever reasons they can't deploy until they get an RTM, and they're, we have to strike that balance of on one hand, I would love to keep
iterating
and doing preview releases. On the other hand, we have to ship. I mean, shipping is a feature.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good thing to point out, though, is the fact you've had a lot of releases. It's all been very public, and that's kind of new for.
Yeah, it's one thing I think. I'm very proud of in terms of this particular project is that in some ways we've taken a leadership role, if you will, mm-hmm. in trying to be even more open and more transparent in how we build. For example, not only did we ship our unit tests with our source code, but mm-hmm. we used a third-party open source mock framework that we also include with our unit test.
Okay.
So, you know, that took some work to, sure. to even be able to do something that seems small like that, because we're not actually shipping that in the box with our product. It's just something we put out on CodePlex.
Mm-hmm.
So also, we put out our source code with a license that allows you to modify it on CodePlex with every single release. We're shipping jQuery, which is a third-party open source JavaScript library,
uh-huh.
with MVC.
Okay. Well, can you show us a little bit, like what it looks like out
sure.
of the package?
Yeah, I'll give you my file new demo here. And it's appropriately named because it starts off with a file new dialog.
All right.
And you'll see here that we have a project template. So one thing about MVC is that it's a web application project type.
Mm-hmm.
When I click OK, here's another thing in terms of openness that we were talking about, is that you have the first thing we prompt you with is a choice of which unit test framework you want to include with your project.
Okay.
So you can always say, I don't care about this, and click No. But if you click yes, you can choose. You have your choice of unit test project. And when you select the unit test project, it hooks it up to your main project and does all that configuration for you,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, it's easy, but it's kind of, you know, annoying to have to do that every time you add a unit test project.
Sure.
We published on the Visual Web Developer blog instructions for how to get third-party unit tests to show up in this dialog.
Okay.
So it's pretty easy. They just create a project template, add a registry setting, and then they're in there. So you can see here I have MB unit, Visual Studio unit test, and xunit.net.
Great.
So for the purpose of this demo, I'm going to click the I suck button.
All right.
Yeah, that's not my joke. That's Hanselman's, but okay. I will completely rip that off.
Okay. We'll give him a little credit there at the bottom.
Yeah, you know, I don't want him thinking I'm trying to steal his mellow. All right, so what we have here is an MVC application. And one of the things you'll notice is that there's a bit of stuff in here already.
Yeah.
It's not a completely blank, empty project.
Uh-huh.
In fact, if I hit Control F5 and start running it, you can see that you have effectively a running application right mm-hmm. right from the beginning. It's a very simple application.
Yes.
I wouldn't deploy this to production as is.
Good.
But it really helps those who are getting started to understand how these pieces all fit together. We have a very convention-based approach in that we have a controllers directory, and each class in here is suffixed with the word controller.
Mm-hmm.
And controllers, like I said earlier, handle the user interaction.
Right.
And so each method on the controller, for example, index here, is addressable via the URL. And what
okay.
I mean by that is did I close the browser? Yep. If we go here and I type in /home/index, that's calling this method here.
Okay.
All right. So what I'd like to show you here is I'm going to show off some of the scaffolding support that's been built in. And this is stuff that was added in the later release candidates and beta sometime around there. So I have this Hack Overflow database. So mm-hmm. now I'm ripping off of Jeff Atwood.
Yeah. Who sounds familiar.
Yeah, so Jeff Atwood built Stack Overflow with ASP.MVC, and so I took his idea and decided I would rebuild it using a better brand name, Hack Overflow.
Okay, good. It's a good reason to rewrite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll just add a new... So I added the database to the app data folder, and then I'm going to go in here and choose an ADO.NET Entity Data Model, or
mm-hmm.
more widely known as Entity Framework.
Right.
Just walk through the wizard here. All right, so I have a few tables in here, such as answer, comment, question, tag. I'm just going to choose them all for, although we're only going to scaffold one of these.
Mm-hmm.
So what Entity Framework now does is generates a bunch of classes, and you can see this model. Because I'm anal, I'm going to go in here and change this entity set name to questions. So if you entity set name is sort of the property it generates for the collection of questions,
right.
and you notice it wasn't pluralized automatically.
Yeah.
That's something I think they'll fix soon.
Okay.
Or they'll fix at some point. I don't know when. All right. So now we have our entity model. Let's build it so that those classes are in there. And then I'm going to go and delete the index view of this, of the home controller, because we're going to recreate this view.
Okay.
So the first thing I want to do is grab, I want to create a view that's going to display all the questions.
Mm-hmm.
So a little tip for you, control dot. I don't know if you know that one for bringing up the using.
Oh, that's new. Nice. I usually have to use the mouse to go find it.
Yeah, control dot. Just
straight,
remember that,
control dot.
Equals.
Is a pro
tip. I learned that from one of the C-sharp IDE team members, and I was like, I've been trying to tell everyone
evangelize
about it. Yeah, exactly. Questions. Oh, okay. So then what we do here is we'll just grab all the questions in the database.
Okay.
And cast them to a list. Actually, array would have been fine. And then we're going to return these questions in the view. So this is a really simple interaction, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just grabbing all the questions from the database, and then I'm shoving them, as is to the view.
Okay.
So in a real app, there might be other things. I might be doing a particular query here or
right.
doing some other interactions.
Some more logic.
So the logic in here is really just the user interaction logic. You would probably call into some model that then does the real business logic.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the cool things here is that now I'm ready to generate a view that's going to display these questions.
Right.
So I can hit Control-M, Control-V, and I bring up the Add a View dialog.
Oh, okay.
So if you don't remember the keyboard thing, you can just click in the method and click Add View as well. But Control-M, Control-V.
Oh, I see.
So here I'm going to create a strongly typed view.
Mm-hmm.
Let's zoom in here to see the options. So I'm going to create a strongly typed view. I can select what type for my view. And then there's this new view content thing here.
Okay.
Let me show you that. So since I want to display a list of questions, I go and I find the question model.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have these options here, create, details, edit, empty, and list. So these are T4 templates that
mm-hmm.
are in a particular directory. And when you add a template, it shows up in there.
Okay.
And so this list template will generate a table of questions.
Oh,
and
wow.
Now I can go in and add my own templates. I can go modify the existing templates. I can even have per-project templates.
Okay.
And I'll be showing some of that stuff at Mix in my Black Belt Ninja Talk.
All right. I haven't seen that yet. That's very cool.
Yep.
I like that.
Well, you haven't seen that yet.
All right. Here we go.
Click Add. And then let's make sure we compile this. I'm going to show you the result, and then we'll go to the we'll go look at the code. So now when you go to this the index page, you can see I've got a fully scaffolded table,
mm-hmm.
and we've got edit and details links. And let's go look at the code.
Yeah.
Now, because we used Entity Framework, one of the cool things is it emits a lot of metadata that we can draw upon.
Mm-hmm.
So you notice here that for the edit link, I want to pass the primary key.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually automatically hooked it up.
Because it knows.
Now,
key,
if I had just pointed this to a generic object,
mm-hmm.
plain old object with no metadata, it would have left a comment there saying, ID equals put your item dot primary key,
right.
and then you would have to go in and just uncomment it and fill in the right property.
Hmm.
And it may be that maybe you're not linking by primary key, so then you change this anyways. But
right.
by default, it helps get you started. So we have these edit and details links. Let's implement the edit controller. So what I'll do here is we'll add an action method. So again, a controller has a set of methods, and each public method returns an action result.
Mm-hmm.
And what the action result is it's the thing you want the framework to do on your behalf. So
okay.
for example, in the first method, we have this concept, I want you to render this view.
Right.
So you return the view, and then the framework does a job of rendering it.
Okay.
So it's somewhat of a more declarative model. So in this case, we're going to edit. I'll take in the primary key, and then we'll... I like to cut and paste. I'm going to do that. Now, I wouldn't write a real app. Again, this is just for demo. Sure. You know, you should probably put that in a constructor or use dependency injection or some other means of doing this.
Something.
Yeah, not the way I'm doing here. This is purely for demo purposes. I just want to get that disclaimer out there because I'll get hate mail saying, why'd you do it that way?
That's exactly. This is not a best practices.
Yes, this is a
prime sample type thing.
Yeah, otherwise this would be a 2-hour long session.
Right, yeah. Or a 1-hour session at Mix.
Yeah. I'll show a little more, little bit more of the best practices at Mix,
okay.
or better practices. I don't like the
better.
Term, yeah, I don't like the term best practices because they're always changing. So
right.
All right. So what I've done here is I've queried the questions database, and I just wanted to grab the first question that matches the current ID, and then I'm going to return that to the view. So again, Control M, Control V, and this time I selected a question, and I'm going to select the edit template this time instead of the list, and click Add. And let's just build this. And now when I click this edit link, so we're going to edit the question, is this dumb or what?
Yeah.
Which I hope the answer is no. You get this edit form.
Wow.
So using these templates, you can quickly scaffold out a site. And then the code that's produced is fairly clean. So you can go and own the code after the fact. So if you make changes to your database or whatever, you know, the scaffold obviously is not going to help you there because you'd have to regenerate the whole thing.
Sure.
The point of the scaffold is really to get you a jump start.
Yeah.
If you want a more dynamic scaffold, you know, some of the features of dynamic data, which is we're looking at for the future, might be brought into MVC. We really need to see what the demand level there is for all those features.
Right.
But it's a fun way to do it, especially when you start customizing templates.
Yeah, and that's the really powerful part, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That you can customize any of these templates, and you said on a per project.
You can even do it on a per project by copying the templates into your project.
Oh, okay.
And I've seen people really go far with that, and one of the things we'd really like to do in the future is actually generate a lot more of your app. You know, could we point the point those T4 templates and say, you know what, do this same thing for all of your tables. And spit out a full linked up site, and then you just go and modify and tweak it. So that's something that we're looking at possibly for the future.
Right.
So that's it.
Well, it seems so. I'm blown away by the scaffolding stuff. It just seems like kind of the final step, like with the entity framework. It's like get my database into objects. Link then makes it very easy to query and filter. But then this is like instant HTML rendering, right? I mean, just that's great. Very cool. Okay, so so you mentioned some people are doing stuff with this. Are there, and also, I guess there's two different directions there. There's, you mentioned dynamic data is something you're looking at. Are there any other things that you're kind of looking at right now as far as things you can talk about? Yeah, yeah.
There's all kinds of ideas that we're tossing around. I mean, one of the things we want to do, and I actually have a prototype that I'll be showing at Mix, is validation based on metadata. So
okay.
Something that dynamic data does is you have these attributes you can put on your model class, and for example, you can say this field must be within a range of 0 and 100, and it will do the validation based off of that.
Wow.
So that's something that I have a demo of. The other thing that I've, for fun and on my own, with Jimmy Schimenti over in the DLR team is I've implemented some Iron Ruby prototypes where you could write controllers and views using Iron Ruby, which is a dynamic language.
Right.
And I have a prototype at Mix I'll be showing off where I'm mixing the two. Like, I'm writing controllers in C#, but views in Iron Ruby and some kind of mixtures of that. So.
Okay.
And then, asynchronous controllers, starting to get into the... We have teams at Microsoft who are starting to look at MVC, and they have these high, bandwidth sites, and they really need to interact with external services, so they need features, and we're looking at their needs and other large enterprise needs, as well as spit and polish as well.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So then, also, it is very extensible. Have you seen people doing kind of some things that you were surprised at as far as like what they're using MVC for? Or how they're using it is what I mean.
Yeah, I've seen some really cool stuff. I mean, one of my favorite things to play around with is the Spark View Engine.
Mm-hmm.
So in this View Engine, you can, it's a very, how should I put it? So for example, if you think about an unordered list, right? You do a for loop and then you print out all the LI elements, right?
Sure.
And you have this gunk that's this for loop, right, that has nothing to do with HTML.
Right.
With Spark, what you do is you have a li element, and then you add this custom attribute, each. And within each, you do each equals, and then you give an expression, like var, p, and products.
Hmm.
And what happens is it's all semantic markup, right? So it knows where the end of the li element is, and then it repeats the whole block for every product in your products collection.
Oh, okay.
So it's a really interesting way of doing view rendering. Mm-hmm. And one of the cool things is that the guy who does it, Louis, probably going to mangle his name, Desjardins,
okay,
is that he was able to implement IntelliSense support for strongly typed Spark views.
Oh,
so
wow.
His views are fully compiled, and he has an add-in that lets you get IntelliSense. So
wow.
I was pretty impressed with what he's done with that. I was at the alt.net conference, and I saw some cool stuff. Aaron Jensen showed me something where he was using Spark and then using client, you know, both client, Spark can also do client templating, so mm-hmm. he showed me that stuff. That was really cool.
Okay.
And Jeffrey Palermo and Eric Hexter, those guys mm-hmm. showed off where they built some their own T4 templates that do generate a whole bunch of stuff.
So. Oh, I see.
So okay. there's a lot of cool stuff happening and building upon this that I'm pretty excited about.
Great. So, and to find all that cool stuff, it's on ASP.NET/MVC or what's the URL?
Yeah, ASP.NET MVC is the starting point for learning all about MVC.
Mm-hmm.
That site is primarily for the broad public releases.
Right.
We also have a Coplex site if you want to get the bleeding edge, you know, don't hurt
yes.
yourself releases.
Right.
That's coplex.com/ASP.NET.
Okay.
And that's the location where the ASP.NET team puts all our,
projects.
all our incubation projects and things
yeah.
we're thinking about, the latest source code releases
okay.
and all that stuff.
And then, just to get through all this, I mean, you're doing a lot of stuff. So you have a session at Mix, and it's called...
I have two sessions. Yeah.
Two sessions. Yes.
So my first session is on, I think, Thursday, and it's called America's Next Top Model View Controller.
Okay.
So for those who don't watch American television, because
uh-huh.
I had a teammate member saying, that's such an odd name. And I was like,
where did that come from?
There's a TV show called America's Next Top Model. So
okay.
We thought it was we wanted to try to have more interesting names for Mix. You
yes.
know, it makes us that kind of conference.
Right. We needed to design your title.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, and if you like it, you know, I'll claim that it was my idea, but if you hate it, it was Hanson's idea.
Okay.
And then the other talk is ASP.NET MVC Black Belt Ninjas on Fire tips.
Ninjas on Fire.
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay.
So
that deserves a graphic. Do you have a graphic?
I have a graphic
that?
Of
okay.
that. Yeah. So
good.
that'll be my talk.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
And so the first talk is just an overview and introductory talk.
Okay.
I'll go through this demo plus more.
Mm-hmm.
The second talk is a collection of tips that show off a lot of that goes a little deeper into the framework stuff that is very hard to show in an introductory talk. And in that talk, I'll make a lot of improvements to my Hack Overflow demo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll show, if time permitting, I'll show off my hosting a scripting language in an application.
Yeah.
And I'll show off, some security stuff, too.
Okay. And then also, there's some mention of a book, a forehead book.
Yeah. Yeah, we should bring that up
yeah,
on the screen.
I'll put it on the screen. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm working on a book with Scott Hanselmans, Rob Connery, and the esteemed Scott Guthrie.
Yes.
So we're very excited to be on the tail end of that, just reviewing final proofs and trying to get it ready to get out the door.
Okay.
So, and if you've seen on the blogs, we've been writing about Scott Guthrie has posted the first chapter of our book, which is in something like 185 pages, and it's an end-to-end walkthrough of building an MVC application.
Wow.
So that book alone, you know, will get you really going with uh-huh. with the framework. And then the rest of the book in true rock style kind of builds upon that and gets you deeper and deeper into the guts of the framework. The first chapter is available as an ebook that's under the Creative Commons license. So you can download it, you can print it out, you can hand it out, you can give it away.
Print them and hand them out, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Great. And so I guess overall, to keep up with all this stuff, we can go to your blog. Hacked?
Yes, hacked.com.
HAACKED.com.
Very good. Yep.
All right. Well, thanks, Phil, for stopping by before Mix. This is awesome work. Thanks for stopping by.
All right. Thanks. It's been fun. Yeah.